You're listening to Golden Rule Radio, your weekly discussion of the precious metals markets and the markets closely associated with the metals. I'm Miles alongside Rob this week, and together we have somewhere around 60 years of history in the precious metals markets. Most of those are yours, Rob, but I'm starting to catch up.
You got 20, Miles. That doesn't count for nothing.
21. Thank you.
Well, then we're over 60, my friend.
I know. And for each of those 60 combined years of experience, we have certainly tried to provide a technical analysis of the market charts, cover any underlying fundamentals, and the news that helps move and predict the markets. So today we're going to talk a little bit about what's going on in the precious metals bouncing around here, which has been very fun and exciting. Also a little bit of international news or lack thereof over the last, for about another week, and what we think we might see next week. And a hot off the presses thing, Rob, that I didn't talk to you about that I just found out about here in the last hour. So before we jump into the weekly charts, anything you want to add, my friend?
No, go for it.
So we'll start off with gold. Gold up about 3.8% since we recorded last Wednesday. Currently sitting at $5,170. And I definitely want to look a little closer at the gold chart here in a few minutes, as it does seem to be inching back up towards some of those previous highs. Silver, the counterpart to gold, a lot more volatility in silver. Gold's up almost 4%. Like I said, silver is up almost 16% since last week, coming into was right over 90. It's currently at $89.15 and having a little bit of a resurgence, but we'll see if that means anything when we look at the silver chart. Platinum as well. Pretty good bump up in platinum here, up about 10.5%, sitting at $2,323. And its sister metal, palladium, not too shabby, up 6% to $1,811. So all the metals having a pretty good week, with gold being consistent, silver, platinum, and palladium having some nice rebound bumps up. Quick glance at the paper markets. The S&P is up 1.3% to 6,946 and still looking very choppy, like it has been over the last couple of months. And finally, the U.S. dollar is dead even. A little bit of up, a little bit of down on the U.S. dollar, but it does finish out our week dead even at 97.70. That's the U.S. dollar index. So, Rob, what's going on in the world these days?
Well, you know, silver sucked all the air out of the room for the last couple of months. And I think that with the Chinese New Year happening right now, I don't really see a lot of change coming in silver. I think we talked about this last week, upper 80s, lower 90s for silver being the top end of the trading range. I know there's a lot of chatter on the internet talking about COMEX inventories of silver that is able to be bought, which is around 88 million ounces. I did check over at the London LBMA. They had about 800,000 ounces available.
Those are different numbers.
Very different. Some of the talk on the internet is how silver could be wiped out if people demanded delivery and they are legally obligated to deliver the silver on those futures contracts. But I remember back under the Clinton administration, as I recall, I think he added a chance for the COMEX to settle in U.S. dollars instead of silver if push came to shove. So I'm not so sure about the impending doom in the silver market, you know, with the shelves being bare and how catastrophic that could be. There was also talk that the New York COMEX would try to drive the price down during the Chinese holiday. But, you know, we'll see what happens. Chinese New Year's over with on March the 3rd. So we'll see what happens when Shenzhen and Shanghai reopens. Right now, the price in China is fixed. I want to say 87.60 is their last price, and the markets are closed over there. Mm-hmm. And I think next week, by the time we record next week, we might have a interesting scenario unfolding, but I think it's going to be pretty boring. I really do.
Yeah, well, certainly it'll be pretty boring if running spot price is relatively close to where the Chinese market opens back at 87. You'd expect it to be relatively boring. What would add a little bit of volatility, obviously, is if the New York spot prices closes at 100 or at 65, you know, something pretty significantly away from that. And then the Chinese market is scrambling to fill orders to catch up and see where spot price ends up landing from there. Real quick, I want to go back to something and maybe put it in context that you just said. So total available delivery at the LBMA. What was that number again?
They had it at 800,000 ounces.
So 800,000 ounces at $90 an ounce deliverable, that's $72 million worth of silver, Rob.
Yeah, still a lot.
Yeah, it's a lot, but I think our company about moved that much in the last 2 months. I mean,
yeah, no, I know that, we did.
That's the LBMA.
Right, I know.
That's the last Kleenex in the bottom of the box.
Well, New York still has 88.2 million ounces available. That is registered and available. Mm-hmm. Oh, and before I forget, 86.70 was the last price in Shanghai. So,
gotcha.
I am dyslexic. Maybe
89 and change now. So not too far off.
I would be really shocked if it went too far above or too far below the Chinese price. That's my opinion.
Yeah, and that wouldn't surprise me either if things stay relatively stable. I mentioned during the open, there was a little piece of news that Kevin Orrick, who's another one of the advisors here at McIlvenny Precious Metals, he's also the co-host of our weekly podcast with Dave McIlvenny, our president. For those of you that catch our show, definitely also go catch the McIlvenny Weekly Commentary with David and Kevin. Oh, that comes out every Wednesday and can be found over at McIlvenny.com as well or on your favorite podcast platform. So I was talking to Kevin about an hour or so ago. He sent me a message. He said, hey, have you and Rob recorded your show yet? And I said, no, because they recorded their show yesterday. And he goes, I just checked an article and it looks like the CME group shut down trading again today due to quote-unquote technical difficulties.
I heard that.
I'll have to see if I can find a good mid-90s television we're experiencing technical difficulties thing to throw up on the screen right now if I can. But that's the second time that's happened now in the last 2 months. Mm. Shocking that, was it December? Maybe it was in the last 3 months, but I know we had another CME, Chicago Mercantile Exchange, technical difficulties where their server room, the air conditioners overheated, and they didn't want to lose data. Now they've had a second technical difficulty. So let's assume it actually is technical difficulties, time to get your stuff together. If it's not, you know, here, I'll get a little conspiratorial for a bit because Tori's not in the room and not going to do it for me. So I'll do it for you, buddy. We saw silver pushing up to 91, 92 this morning and starting to look pretty strong and getting really close to the bounce high. You know, if you look at the chart here, we had our first initial descent in silver, which happened that Thursday night, you know, Shanghai market overnight Thursday. New York market opens, CME group. They didn't shut down, but they did raise margin requirements on Friday the 30th, January 30th. That pushes the price down even further. And we ended up bottoming that move on Monday at around $71.25. Then we had our first bounce, you know, ball bouncing down a flight of stairs. That took us up to 92 and change. And we were starting to edge ever closer to that number, which could arguably start getting some people's attention if we see us breaking above the trading range that we've been in for the last month. Now, it's a huge trading range, but it is a trading range. Lo and behold, right when we start coming up to this price, the CME group has magical technical difficulties, and now the silver price is back down because they came out and said, we're canceling all trades so far placed today. So if you placed a trade today through the CME group, it doesn't exist anymore. Go double check your broker.
You know what my new favorite word is?
What's that?
Coinkadink.
Yeah.
What exactly. A coinkadink.
What a coinkadink. They also could have raised margin requirements again.
Just like what happened in Shanghai on Thursday and then Friday in New York, and here we are. Yeah, I mean, my new favorite word.
Yeah, you don't have to be conspiratorial. That's the thing that kills me about people. Like, the real conspiracies are in plain sight. They're not conspiracies. It's just the actions that governments take. China shuts down trade in the silver futures market. Nope, we're done. $120 silver. It's out of control. No, no more. Bad. You know, the market got a spanking. CME Group wakes up the next day and they go, yeah, we can jump on that bandwagon, raise the margin requirements. Price starts pushing back up towards breakout territory, which you get a key breakout like that and you start getting some more potential for, what's the M word of the month that you and I keep
momentum.
Talking about, Rob?
Momentum. Your favorite word, momentum.
Yeah. So momentum seems to be the key word here, is you get a breakout move like that and you can start seeing some pretty significant momentum pushing silver price back up further.
Well, and speaking of governments, you know, silver was named as one of the strategic minerals, and this administration is working on a, for lack of a better term, a working group with agencies of the government and private industry to provide price supports for strategic minerals and also a strategic stockpile for these minerals, just like we do with oil. And that will provide, and I'm going to credit Morgan Lewis, one of our analysts at McIlvany Wealth Management. He came out with what I thought was very interesting two-step process. The first step, give price support to commodities like silver, and that encourages private industry that they can pursue exploration, they can continue mining operations, because you know a lot of silver mines shut down when silver was in the dumpster. So they'll provide price support for silver as well as a number of other strategic minerals. And secondly, they also want to allow price inflation for the prices of these different commodities, of which silver is one, to incentivize private industry with the expectation of added profit. So I'm not scared of silver, but I trust gold. You know, and when we get into gold, I think people will look at your charts and see why I'm a gold bug.
Yeah, well, it's consistent momentum.
Mm-hmm.
Silver was a fun ride. Silver does put on some fun rides.
It does. But, and it will. And that ratio is going to get better. I mean, we went from 64 to 1. I think today we're around 57 to 1. That ratio is going to get narrower.
Yeah, we're sub 60. Yeah, we're 57.9 as we talk. So, you know, the lowest we got, it was intraday, but it got down to 46. I think we did hit 44, 43 in the overnight markets back on the week before the crash. So that'd be like the 25th, 26th of January. But other than that, you know, again, ball bouncing down a hill. We could see a little bit of continued pressure here and the volatility that you're going to see in silver just because of the size of the move that took place. Again, 15.5% up this past week, and it went from the middle of the trading range to the top of the trading range.
Yeah.
It's a staggeringly big range that silver could trade in. You might just see it wiggle its way back down to the mid or low 40s, which would be great for those of us that were staggering out on our ratio trades. We may get another stab at it here in the next couple of months.
When you say mid to low 40s, you're talking the ratio, not the price.
The ratio, not the price. But we'll talk about that too in a minute when we get to the silver charts.
Yeah, I think you caused some people to panic. $40 silver.
No. Oh, I will. We'll do that in a minute. No, I'm talking 40 to 1 silver to gold. 40 ounces of silver equals 1 ounce of gold, which is when you need to be moving your silver into gold.
Amen. Yeah, take another 10-20% off the table. If we can get back into the mid-40s, you know, hootie-hoo, we are going to be busy.
Yeah. Let's do what you want to, Rob. Let's take a quick look at that gold chart, something you and I were talking about earlier. And I think it's just amazing to me what we've seen with the consistency of gold here. Barring that massive decline that we saw, but realistically, the massive decline, when you look at the chart this particular way, that big decline that we saw in gold really just brought it down to a pretty extended trading channel. You can see on the chart here that goes back to around August of last year when gold was $3,300. And we've put a nice long floor in the price of gold. We're talking about we pushed well above it going into October, corrected back down. We hovered right along it all the way up until we got into the beginning of January. We had the huge run up in January, and then it corrected back down. Now we're continuing to just climb along this trading channel. It's amazing to me just how consistent gold has really been over the last 3 months. Now it's been pretty steep. We're still talking a pretty significant increase here in gold, up 57% at the moment, just since August of last year. But it's been consistent growth. You're not seeing wild, crazy swings up and down. And anytime we've seen a wild swing up, it just corrects back down to the channel. So when I talk about momentum, that's what I'm talking about. And look at the momentum that gold has continued to give us, even post this correction. Where silver has really started to flatten out here, gold continuing to put in higher highs and higher lows as it's climbing back up towards the previous high back on January 28th and 29th.
Yeah, and it gives me great confidence. It's like I said all those years ago, the story of the guy calling me and I want $50,000 worth of silver because it's going to be worth the same as gold one day. And I just started laughing. And he goes, young man, I don't think you know your job. And it's like, well, I started buying gold and silver when I was a kid back in 1973. Got a little bit of a background. He goes, well, why don't you like silver? I'm like, I like silver just fine. But she's like a blonde in a convertible looking for a good time. And gold is the lady down at church that I want to marry. And it's so true. But I will say, when silver takes you for a ride, boy, howdy, is that fun.
Yeah. So I think this is, what, my third silver ride in the last 20-some years? Yeah. So it doesn't happen often. It's dad getting the kids on the weekends. Doesn't happen too often. But I think neither of our examples are very politically correct, so forgive
me. No, I'm so politically incorrect, I probably have people hanging up. But, you know, here's the thing, Miles. I still believe that silver is going to do extremely well. But
sure,
it's going to probably take longer than what people were led to think a few weeks ago. That's my really only my point, is just be more patient. Silver is going to continue. Gold is going to continue to march on steady Eddie. I think that we will probably see another rally by the end of spring, is my opinion, in silver.
Yeah, I think it's completely possible. You know, I'll be interested to see what happens on this turnaround on silver personally, being that we came into the top end of that trading range here today. I'll be interested to see how it corrects or if it continues. If it does correct, how deep does it go before it starts climbing again? Because I want to see what the investors and the traders are actually thinking right now. Are they looking to short-term trade a range, or are they looking to jump on a bandwagon and build up that M-word momentum? And I don't think that's defined yet.
Well, look at the commitment of traders. You know, a month ago, if I'm not mistaken, and I thought the commitment of traders was 4-1, four contracts long for every contract short. Now it's 2-1.
Yeah. Not a month ago, a week ago.
Okay. Yeah, even better. So if you look at the commitment of traders as far as silver is concerned, they're sitting on their hands right now.
Yeah, I think it was 1.5-1 when we looked earlier.
Oh, boy.
So pretty much even. But yeah, you go back a couple months, it was like 10-1 or 8-1. I mean, it was staggeringly long, and that was reflected in the price going up at the time. It's definitely cooled back off. So, and a lot of those positions are in that spreading category where you've got people who own both sides of the trade, just in different time frames. So they're hedging their own bets. So there's not a diehard push one direction or the other. And I think it's important to remember for the average investor out there that all the news and all the things that you see in the world that point you in the direction of, you know, like your client years ago, silver is going to be worth the same as gold. Okay, that might happen. Sure. Why not? Anything could happen. But just because you see and understand the world that way, unfortunately, it takes a handful
a whole lot of other people with
tens of billions of dollars all willing to place bets that direction. And frankly, they did it twice last year. They did it in the spring. They placed a ton of bets in spring of 2025. And then they placed even more bets in the winter of 2026. So it is possible that the market just needs to catch a breather. And that's perfectly healthy. That doesn't mean you're wrong. Mm-hmm. That just means you got to be patient and let the market run the marathon that it needs to. So the thing I was trying to point out here when we were looking at some of the floors in the markets a second ago, and I'll throw these charts up, is you can look at gold long-term and you can just look at how it's been rising in these sort of patterned segments where it'll consistently correct back to a baseline. Mm-hmm. It's always got to run back and check in with mom when it's you know, out playing at the park. Every 30 minutes, you run back to base, you grab a drink of juice, you catch your breath, you eat some orange slices, and then you head back out. And that seems to be the way gold and silver and most markets move. Gold's been pretty consistent climbing. What that does allow us to do is sort of extrapolate out some potential highs and potential massive correction points that you could see the metals come back to if we do have a long-term correction. Silver's doing the same thing. It just did it a little bit more truncated because it kind of did all of it just in the last couple of months.
Yeah.
But it's the same general concept. It puts some floors in the market that are going to require a lot of negative effort to push the price below. So there's a couple charts there, both gold and silver, which is giving us some long-term correction points. Now, the thing I don't want people to be concerned about is you'll notice when you look at this, what do you mean silver could have a floor at $30 going all the way back to, you know, worst case correction scenario.
I really don't see that happening. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't see it happening either, but of course it could. I mean, you and I were obviously both here when silver went from $5 to $50 and then all the way back down to $15.
Yeah.
Now, I look at it this way, 2006 to 2013, you're looking at 6 or 7 year time frame where silver tripled. It tripled in 7 years. Go ask your broker, your stockbroker, to get you a 300% return over the next 7 years and see what they say. 100% return, maybe, but 300% return? But what's interesting about that is talk to the average silver bug who bought silver for 20, watched it go all the way up to 100, and then come back down to 60. They're depressed. It's like, why? Even at the bottom end of the trading range here, most clients who've been in silver, they're in between 15 and 30 bucks that have been in silver for the last 10, 15 years.
Yeah.
And you're still looking at staggering returns. So I think this is a really good time after the exuberance that we just saw in December, January, and February. It's a good time to take a step back and really take stock of what really just happened. And when that kid checks back in with mom, when silver comes back to the rising trend line of the direction that it's going, when gold comes back to the trend line, the bottom end of that trend line that the long-term direction is going, that's the real price of the metal. Not the crazy price when it's all exciting. It's the quiet price when you're home alone at night. What's the old saying? Who you are out in public versus who you are when nobody's looking.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the real price when nobody's looking, and it's still staggering. So sure, January was fun, but what I really care about is silver's putting in a base here somewhere in the $70 to $80 range. A year ago, it was 30. Couldn't care less it was 120. It'll be 120 again. That's not a big deal. You know, let's all kind of take a breath, take stock in what really has happened here, and then remember why we own the metals to begin with. The United States continues to spend more than they make, and they make up the difference on the national credit card. And it's tapping your kids, and it's tapping your grandkids. And as long as they're doing that, I'm going to keep owning metals.
I think that's an excellent point.
Well, that's going to do it this week for Golden Rule Radio. As always, we appreciate you stopping by. If you liked what you heard, we encourage you to head on over to our website where you can find our weekly articles and shows. We are at McElvaney.com. You can also find us on Twitter at ICA Gold or Facebook at McElvaney Financial. And as always, if you'd like to discuss your personal portfolio with one of the advisors here at McElvaney Precious Metals, you can reach us at 1-800-525-9556. Thanks again for listening and have a great week.